Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, June 1st, 2015. Happy June, everyone. You're in for a real treat on today's edition of Mark and Friends. As a new acquaintance on the way to becoming a friend, Tommy Morris is on the line with my call to his home in Deer Park, Texas, just near Houston. And it's an interesting story how God has matched us up. But first, major shout-outs to the super volunteers that helped at the Homer Soda Festival. The beating sun, rain-filled skies, high winds, torrential downpours, nothing stopped these two. As Herb the radio servant and Larry Budgeteers Bunning stepped up and helped out in a great way. Now that I think about it, most of the long-term servant types to this radio ministry all have nicknames. Herb the Radio Servant, and Larry Budgeteers Bunning. I'll have to come up with something for Dwayne Berkey, but I do thank God that he's back home, praying them all up Thursday through Saturday, as something wasn't right, and he went to the emergency room, and they kept him and observed him, and finally sent him home Saturday afternoon. But we thank God for his recovery and for his continued role assisting this radio ministry 5 days a week out at our radio tower right across the street from his home. Well, thank you, Tommy, for waiting on the line and being available for today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. And I'm going to start off with a special verse that God has impressed on your heart, maybe one of your favorites. And then I'll set up for our radio listening family the uniqueness of this broadcast and how it even came about. But let me begin with a reading out of Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. And it says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That's from the NIV, a powerful verse. And before I have you share why that is unique or special or has been used of God in your life, let me alert our listeners for how this interview even came about. And thank you, God, that your leg cramps have gone away, because I wasn't sure if we were going to even be able to have you on this Monday's edition of Mark and Friends. But thank you, God, that he worked as we prayed up your legs, and it seems like you're doing okay. But first and foremost, welcome to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. Is this your radio debut?
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, sir.
Let me backstep a little the story. On Saturday, well, let me even go back a little further. David and I, my son, have been praying up arrangements for David because he's doing an internship for ExxonMobil in the Houston, Texas area. We've been praying up housing for him. And so we've had a number of emails with different people and friends to see if they knew somebody in the Houston area. Did they know of affordable housing? Because David's trying to save up some money for his final semester at school. And so we've been praying it up for literally some weeks. And we're within like less than 2 weeks of the time we have to go down there and get them all set up. So Saturday, I'm at the Homer Soda Festival, and I'm still like, shoot, we don't have much time. We got to figure out housing for David. And I get a message from Bruce Munsterman. He's the head kahuna at KHCB. He oversees like 20 radio stations. And in fact, I got my first start 20 plus years ago sitting in his studio. He leaves the room and says, "Okay, Mark, take over now." And he like scared the daylights out of me, because I didn't know what to say, how to share, and it's a 100,000-watt station there in Houston. So Bruce has been a good friend for these many years. Well, I called him up and said, "Bruce, do you know a pastor or anyone in the area that might know somebody to get housing for David?" And so he said, "Well, let me check with a few pastors I know and get the word out." And so he had been in touch with Pastor Mike Naren. And, you know, with the flooding and all the rain and the storms and the situations, people were very busy tending to a number of different needs. And it was like, oh, no, this is going to make housing even harder, because people are needing short-term housing and are displaced from their home and in hotels and so forth. But Bruce got back to me on Saturday and said, "Mark, I have a lead. There's a person named Tommy Morris, and he attends the Second Baptist Church of Pasadena, right near the Houston area. And Pastor Mike says that there's a situation where it might really work out well for David to meet up with him because Tommy had sustained an accident at work, has some back problems, and is laid off for a little time. So this might be a good arrangement. Anyways, so I called Tommy up and said, hey, Tommy, might there be some room in your home for David to come down? In fact, he and I will be coming down in a few weeks. And so you had some questions. We talked a little bit. And then I said something about your faith story or something where you said, oh, yeah, this was the situation. And I said, hey, I got to get you available for the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. So here we are. And so it's kind of unique how God may be answering multiple prayer requests through the situation and having you on. But I know as we briefly talked on Saturday, you said, well, Mark, it was about 5 years ago in jail that God began a unique work in my life. But I think I'd rather have you take us back to how you grew up and some of that story and narrative before we get to what God did about 5 years ago. So with all that said, thank you, Tommy, for being available for today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends.
You're most welcome. Thank you, Mark, for the opportunity to share with your audience. My story starts really young. I've basically been a lifelong drug addict. I started doing drugs when I was riding a bicycle. A friend of mine in the neighborhood took a joint out of his handlebars one day, and this was when I was probably in the sixth grade. I smoked my first joint. And I almost immediately went from an A and B student into a B and an F student. I don't really consider myself as a bad child. I wanted to do what I want, and I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. But that started my drug career. All through intermediate school, I was doing drugs. I would go to school, lunchtime, in some classes. I'd take the opportunity to do drugs. I'd go back to my classes and sleep through them. I wouldn't pay attention to any authority. I wasn't mean to anybody. I did what I wanted to do.
Now, where did the money come from to purchase these drugs and such?
My allowance. My father would give me $10 a week in allowance. Back in those days, $10 would buy quite a bit of marijuana, which was my main drug of choice at the time. As I got older, of course, the trouble started coming. Probably the first time I can think of I got in trouble for drugs was me and about five of my buddies went camping one time. We went to Inks Lake, which is up around Austin, Texas, and we got in trouble up there for drugs. That time, I served a 6-month probation and about $100 fine. My parents came and got me out, all that good stuff. Well, just as soon as that was over, I got back to my drugs again. You might want to sort of count the times I got in trouble because the way the law works, I wasn't supposed to have this thing set. So I know that the Lord had a plan. Now that I look back on it at the time, of course, I didn't recognize that.
Now, how were your parents responding to you during this time when you were making poor choices? Obviously, your grades were dropping. Were they aware that you had a drug problem, or were they busy or consumed with other things so they didn't take notice?
They picked it up pretty quick. That sort of leads up to, I ended up in a drug abuse program. The name of it was Palmer Drug Abuse Program here in Houston, Texas.
How old were you at this time?
I was probably 17, 18.
Okay.
And I ended up getting married to a girl that I met in high school. We stayed together about a year, I think. She couldn't handle my drug abuse, of course. We got divorced, and I went right back to the drugs again. I was doing the drugs. I don't believe the marriage was just trying to hide it. But in some other periods, we were sitting around one night doing some drugs. This one's going to sound a little comical. But we kept looking around the house. There was no food. We was all hungry. And we found one jar of barbecue sauce. So here we are in Texas among all the cattle, and we went out and shot this cow. We were going to have some barbecue. Well, we got caught. We have officially got the first case of cattle rustling in Pasadena, Texas, since it's been established as a city. The Cattlemen's Association, actually, in the state of Texas, hanging is still on the books. But our attorneys cut us out of it. That was my first felony charge. And you see, what charges followed that one? Ended up writing bad checks. I got another felony charge writing bad checks. As I got older, of course, the drug abuse got worse, and I needed more money, so I started writing bad checks. I wrote some bad checks, ended up having to go to court. The judge ordered restitution, but I ignored the judge, so they locked me up again. That time I spent 30 days in jail waiting for the court. Mm. And I finally got out. I went to court. I got all that smoothed over, and I got it behind me. It was my second felony charge. Not real long after that, I was high one night, and I had an accident with injuries. Since I was high, of course, it was my fault. Thank the Lord nobody was killed, but there were people injured. And that was a third felony charge. For those that are counting, those that know the law, I should already be in prison.
Yeah, the three strikes, you're out.
Well, the three strikes, I should have been in prison already.
Now, I'm just going to digress here for a moment. Was there anyone trying to speak truth? Was there any godly influence? Was anyone trying to introduce you to a different way of life or making other choices than, like, this feeding your drug habit?
Well, in my younger years, I had an aunt and uncle that made sure I went to church every Sunday. But during this period, up to this point, there was nobody that was trying to lead me in the right direction. Mm-hmm. But my parents, after that arrest, they got me into the drug abuse program that I was talking about, the drug abuse program. And I ended up getting sober. I got off the drugs. Hmm. Thanks to a man called Bob Meehan, which he was an ex-heroin addict that got clean and started helping the teenagers around the Houston area get off drugs. I got sober. It was sort of hitting me, which isn't unusual for somebody trying to get off drugs. But I finally got off drugs for good. I stayed off drugs for the rest of my life. I'm still not doing drugs. Let me back up just a little bit. In the drug abuse program, the Bible wasn't so much an abuse to me, but the theory of Jesus Christ and what he did started being introduced to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at the time, I really didn't want to hear it. I did get sober. I stayed sober. I wasn't going to church. I was still running my own wheel. And then we got to the most recent one. I ended up at Harris County Jail, which is in Houston, with two felony assault charges. This is where you really see the Lord's hand work. I'm sitting in jail with two felony assault charges, no bail whatsoever. The judge didn't want me to get out of jail. About the second day that I was in jail, there was a man that was getting out. And I don't know if you ever heard of the phrase jailhouse religion or not.
Mm-hmm.
But in jail, there's a lot of people studying the Bible, a lot of people praying, but the second they get out, they're done. And that's what happened to this man. I was sitting at the table as he was getting out, and he slung his Bible across the table, and it hit my arm as he was going out the door because I don't need that anymore. Mm-hmm. So, with me sitting in jail, the Bible still didn't impress me, but I'm in jail. I don't have nothing to do. This will give me something to read. I started reading the Bible, basically out of boredom, just to have something to do. Well, all this stuff started making pretty good sense. And I met this other gentleman that was a few steps down from me. He was a Christian. And we sort of buddied up. We got to talking. We got to studying the Bible. A few weeks later, I said, well, I'll try some of that prayer stuff they're talking about.
Mm.
And I started praying. And I was sitting in my cell one night, and I prayed to God. I said, God, if you'll help me out with this, now be careful if you make a deal, God, he'll take you up on what I found out.
Hmm.
I said, God, if you'll help me out of this, I will dedicate my life to you. And that night, I accepted him as my Savior.
Hmm.
Now, you got to keep in mind, I'm sitting in jail with two felony charges with no bail. The very next night, they come over to Speaker Morris, ATW. Y'all probably don't know what that means, but that means I'm getting out.
Hmm.
I haven't even been to court yet. I'm not supposed to get out. I'm in here with no bond. I got out, and I was out on bond. I wasn't supposed to have a bond, but I was out on bond. Well, I didn't have any money, so my attorney was appointed to me. Those that have been through the system know that court-appointed attorneys, they're just a figurehead. They don't do anything to try to help you. Well, the Lord helps you, as long as you believe. Anybody that has been through the system knows that you do not get anything settled the first time you go to court. Well, the verse that you read at the beginning of it, the reason it's my favorite verse, I've got a little crystal box that I keep on my dresser that has all kinds of Bible verses. Before I went to court that morning, I pulled my verses lay out. That's what it was. It was Isaiah 41:10.
Hmm.
I slipped it in my pocket, and I went to court. I'll remind you one more time that nobody gets anything settled first time they go to court. That's basically with a court-appointed attorney. I'm facing two felony charges. I walked in there at 8 o'clock in the morning, which is what I'm supposed to be there. At 8:15, I walked out of there. The judge had dropped one of them completely. He reduced the second one to a misdemeanor and gave me time served.
Hmm.
He told me, Mr. Morris, go home. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
Hmm.
But at that instant, I knew that the Lord was working in my life.
And someone like you, as you've mentioned, you've been very independent. You want to live life the way you want to live. And yet here you pray, okay, Lord, if you can get me out of this or if you will work through this, and you begin to pray. And he seemingly answers in a very specific, powerful way. Did that like warm your heart? Did you suddenly say, can this be? Is there really a God looking after me? I mean, what was going on in your mind and heart as you're seeing these things unfold like this just doesn't happen?
Well, I have to be honest, it scared me to start with. Well, it still scares me. Hmm. The Lord has been so gracious to me, I am afraid to let him down.
Hmm.
So now I do everything in my power to please Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I look back through all of the drug years, I can see this thing. Now I'm helping to run a drug abuse program called Celebrate Recovery. In order to do that, I needed to have the experience. I needed to have the experience of the drug abuse in order to relate to the people that I'm dealing with. So it actually goes back to something that the pastor on TV the other day said, but the Lord doesn't change, it's Jesus. And he is very much using me right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I very much let him.
And I think that's true. The example you give, the Lord in his economy doesn't allow anything to go for waste. When we surrender and submit to him, he will take the baggage, the poor choices, the missteps, you know, all the different life experiences and allow them to be healing balm for others or examples or, hey, I've become victorious through the Lord's help through this. So he kind of takes even the bad spots in our lives and transforms them into something that can be useful to help others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. But all the times I got in trouble and never went to jail, there was one time I was sitting in jail facing 10 to 99 years. That was another charge I've got to tell you about.
Hmm.
I sold 2 ounces of cocaine to an undercover officer.
Hmm.
And I was sitting in jail facing 10 to 99 years. With the Lord's help, I didn't know it was his help at the time. I ended up doing 1 year's probation.
Hmm. As many will say, the Lord's hand is upon you, Tommy, and like to those who have been given much, much is expected, and there's kind of that good tension of like, Lord, I don't want to let you down. I've seen you at work. I've seen you caring for me. I've seen you provide for me, and kind of a healthy fear, a fear of like, Lord, in light of all that you've done for me, I want to serve you faithfully, and I know you're involved in your church. I think any time it's open, you're there for the services and attending meetings and sharing with Celebrate Recovery. So many of our listeners are familiar with that because I've interviewed Gary Wackerlin and other people that are very involved. It's a great program being used of God, a Christ-centered program that takes people through the various steps of healing and hope. And so I'll ask our Great News Radio listeners to be praying you up, Tommy, in the days ahead as you continue on this faith journey of seeing where he will use you. And so in our closing minute here, Tommy, say there's somebody that says, but Tommy, you don't know my story. I've messed up so many times. Or Tommy, I'm still struggling. There's that temptation to go out and drink or get back into the drug scene. What would you say to them, or how might you close out our program praying for them?
For somebody like that, the first thing I would tell them is you're not unique at all. There's many people out there walking the same steps. There is hope in Jesus Christ.
Hmm.
Anytime Jesus Christ is involved, there is hope.
And I like how you put it. You're not unique, and yet, in a sense, we're all so uniquely fashioned for very specific work that God wants to do in and through us. So, in a sense, our experience is not unique. There's nothing new under the sun, and yet God has created us so unique and walked us through different things so we can be that agent of healing and hope for others. And, Tommy, you're a tribute to how God can take anyone out of various situations and make good of it, huh?
The Lord has been so good to me, and I just didn't know it at the time.
Well, Tommy, it's going to be interesting. I'm going to be meeting up with you with my son David in less than 2 weeks, and he'll be rooming there with you. So, you know, rub off some of the good godly stuff on him, and I know you're going to absolutely love him. He'll be a great roommate, and I'm so proud of him having that internship down there in Houston, Texas with ExxonMobil. And as I said to you off air, you're going to be very blessed by him, but I think you'll add to his life experience too. So thank you for walking faithfully with the Lord and desiring to serve God in various ways and assisting the Burns clan by helping allow David to stay with you. So thanks for being available for today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, and also being a host to my son David.
It is definitely my pleasure.
Well, listening friend, as we opened up the programming, and I'll close out with the same verse, Isaiah 41, verse 10, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God is for you, friend. Draw near to him.
There's so much strength in that one verse.
Yeah, I think about that concept. I like to share it often. Draw near to God, out of James 4:8. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. And I'm glad, Tommy, that you saw the wisdom in surrendering and submitting and seeking after the Lord and making that agreement with him that, Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll serve you. And these past 5 years, you've been faithfully doing that, and may you be able to continue to serve the kingdom in many years ahead. So thanks for being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends.
I appreciate it. God bless you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.